If it's convenient for you to have 1 Timothy 3 and 4 open, you may find it helpful because we'll be thinking about chapter 4, verse 7 this morning. Train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then it goes on to explain what godliness is. The mystery of godliness is great. God appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. So godliness is Christ-likeness. Well, shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, will you incline our hearts and motivate our minds to put our hope in you, the living Lord, for the sake of Christ, our Saviour. Amen. What a great article there was and photograph in the Mourn Observer this past week. Maybe you saw it. A Ross Trevor GP sharing his novel way of beating the January blues and keeping healthy. For the past few years, he's been encouraging friends and patients to climb their local mountain, Slieve Martin. I suppose for Kilkeel people, that's like hiking up Wee Binion. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 tells us that physical training is of some value. It's good to go for a walk. It's a positive thing to play badminton, to go training and out cycling. It's good being out on the golf course. It's good for our mental and physical well-being. But as Christian women and men, Paul writes to Timothy, says this, don't stop there. Don't make that the totality of what you want to do. Train yourselves to be godly. Because physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise not just for here and now, but for the life to come. Now, it's this idea of training in order to be godly that I would love us just to think about for a few moments. Because to be honest, even the concept of godliness is something that's rarely thought about today, let alone practiced, but it's something that Paul the Apostle feels compelled to share with Timothy as something vitally important. Timothy, as you see from chapter 1, verse 2, is his young companion, his true son in the faith. And Paul is saying, Timothy, I want to instruct you about something that's valuable, not just for the here and now, but forever. There are two ways in which we can learn, aren't there? We can learn negatively or else we can learn positively. We can learn, for example, how to parent by doing what our parents did that was good, or we can learn from rejecting the negative things our parents did or did not do for us. And likewise, Christian people can learn either to be godly by rejecting bad practice or by adopting good practice. So, for example, in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. So if you want to be godly, there are some things you have to say no to. You have to say no to godless myths. On the other hand, chapter 3, verse 16, the mystery of godliness is this. And here he highlights the life and the witness of Jesus that inspires, that encourages, that enables us to grow in grace and knowledge and love of God. Rejects myths, but embrace a mystery. If you want to become godly, there are some things you must have nothing to do with. There are some things you must consciously reject. What Paul here calls godless myths and old wives' tales. Now, I don't know what the godless myths and old wives' tales were in first century Ephesus. They're probably very different from the ones in 21st century Kilkeel. But the result, chapter 4, verse 1, is the same. In later times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. Think of the number of Christian people who read their horoscopes or get their fortune told. It's daft. Worse in some cases, maybe it's even demonic. Or think of the number of people from Ireland and the UK who have joined Islamic State, a desire for purity of faith and religion, and yet when they join up, they discover leaders embroiled in pornography and violence and rape. Think about the number of gormless people who fall for every headline in their favorite newspaper. So your godless myths and old wives' tales will be different from mine. The books you choose to read, the television programs you choose to watch, the sites you choose to view. But when these things command our attention more than actively training to become like Jesus, do not be surprised if instead of becoming more godly, your heart grows cold, you lose your spiritual passion, and eventually abandon the faith. Now, if that's the warning, let's look at the alternative. We've to reject godless myths, chapter 4, verse 7. Instead, we're to embrace the mystery of godliness, chapter 3, verse 16. Just a short time ago, someone sent me a beautiful card with this verse on it. And that's why it deeply impacted me. And that's why I've been thinking about this to share with you today. The mystery of godliness is great, was written in the card. God appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. So what is the mystery of godliness? It's about Jesus. This is how those who have put their hope in the living Lord and called him our Savior learn how to worship and live in a right relationship with him. Now, everybody likes a mystery. When Sherlock was on, 8 million of us watched it, and some of us remain as mystified at the end of the program as at the beginning. But here's the mystery of the gospel. In other words, something that once was hidden has now been made perfectly plain. Jesus, although God, almighty, eternal, creator God, became human. He didn't cease to be God, but he took the very nature of man, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross. So here's the mystery of all time, which once was hidden, but now is made plain. God himself has come to reveal himself in a human form. He appeared in a body so that these bodies of ours that are physical might be renewed, might be emotionally tuned, and by the power of the Holy Spirit infilled and indwelt by the incarnate Son of God. Train yourselves to be godly. The implications of Jesus become human is just enormous. Do you remember the tenderness at the start of Jesus' 3 years of ministry when God the Father affirmed Jesus as his beloved Son and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove? Jesus was the perfect Holy Spirit-filled human being. He was affirmed by the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. I remember so clearly taking a time of sabbatical in the summer of 2006 and longing that God would show me how to become a better minister, and desiring that that time out, God would make plain to me what it was that he wanted me to become. And the answer came to me in those few weeks that I had aside that God didn't want me to become a better minister. He wanted me to become a more loving son. Jesus wasn't so concerned about what I should do as who I should be. So God's desire is that we train to be godly by seeking to be infilled with the same Holy Spirit that infilled Jesus, so that our faith might shine and we would display the family likeness. So the mystery of godliness is great. God appeared in body. He was vindicated by the Spirit and he was seen by angels. There's quite a lot of talk about angels actually in the Bible. We know that at his incarnation, heaven was so excited that for a brief moment, heaven and earth collided as angels, messengers of God, heralded the coming of Messiah. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men in whom his favor rests. But it wasn't just at his birth that angels ministered. But you also remember at Jesus' temptation, the angels attended him at that moment when Christ, the second Adam, prevailed where Adam, the first man, had failed. The angels gave Jesus strength at his temptation. And after the resurrection, the angel said to the terrified bystanders, "Do not be afraid, he is not here, he has been raised, just as he said." So Jesus was seen by angels, and that was wonderful. He was affirmed by the angels. Train yourselves to be godly. Consider the amazing truth that what Jesus has done, how Jesus lived, how Jesus triumphed, how Jesus died, how Jesus was raised again for our justification and was witnessed by the heavenly hosts, that is for you. So already we've seen three parts of this great mystery of godliness that has unfolded. God appeared in a body. Jesus was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. And there's more. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us that Jesus was preached among the nations. It was not only God's chosen people, the Jews, that heard about Jesus from Pentecost on, but the Gentiles became known about him throughout the world. They heard the good news of the gospel. Claire and I have not long come back from Nepal, and there we witnessed how the generous support given by you and the Presbyterian Church in Ireland following the two massive earthquakes a year and a half ago has been spent on the reconstruction process, and that was thrilling. But even more thrilling, I've got to tell you, was meeting pastors there brought up in a Hindu background who are ministering in a church that is bulging at the seams. I talked to a pastor who 50 years ago, someone brought the gospel to his school, and he was from a closed Hindu background, but he received some information about Jesus, and that led to his faith, and now he's pastor of a church that is just bulging. So a way of training ourselves to be godly is take an interest in what God is doing throughout the world. Pray for, support, and participate in short and long-term mission to the nations. That's one way we can grow in godliness. And not only was Jesus preached among the nations, but he was believed on in the world. Very often people believe the secular Western media that says that somehow the Christian church is in its last days. And in the West, perhaps there is decline, there is dying. To be sure, there are many places that are becoming more secular than before, but there are many, many places in this world that are becoming more Christian. When preaching in the International Church in Kathmandu a number of weeks ago, in that congregation was an ambassador from a nation deeply hostile to the gospel of Jesus. I know, because I was talking to him. Very recently, the Gospel Coalition website contained an article about the burgeoning of the church in Iran. Let me read it to you. More Iranians have become Christians in the last 20 years than in the previous 13 centuries put together since Islam came to Iran. In 1979, there were an estimated 500 Christians from a Muslim background there. Today, some say there are more than 1 million. Iran has been named as having the fastest growing evangelical church in the world. And the second fastest growing church is Afghanistan. Why? Because the Afghans are being reached by Iranians. Train yourselves to be godly. He was preached among the nations. He was believed on in the world. And finally, he was taken up in glory. Jesus, who was born, Jesus, who was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations and believed on in the world, did not remain earthbound. He did not remain dead. He did not stay in a tomb. This Jesus, who is the source of godly living, was exalted to the highest place and even now is seated at the right hand of the throne in heaven. He is interceding for us. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. For this same Jesus, as it says in Acts chapter 1, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you've seen him go. And so here in 1 Timothy 8, Paul tells Timothy that physical training is of some value. Yes, it is. Climbing up Wee Binion is good. Life Builder's Gym is excellent. But godliness is of even greater value. Why? Because training in the way of Christ-likeness is valuable not just for this present life, but also for the life to come. As a congregation of God's people, could this be our goal? To reject godless myths, instead to actively train to be godly. How? By considering Jesus. And as Jesus lived, so we in turn live godly, spirit-filled, angelically affirmed, believing people in this diverse and difficult and dark and challenging world at this specific moment in time. Now, training to be godly does not just happen. It comes about as we hear God's word proclaimed. It becomes part of our desire as we determine to read and study the Word of God so that it becomes part of our souls, as we allow every part of our lives to be conformed to the image of Jesus, as we talk, as we share, as we read, as we pray, as God by His Holy Spirit changes our prejudices and our outlooks and all the things that are not Christ-like. This mystery becomes plain as God, by His Holy Spirit, opens our eyes and helps us see Jesus in all His beauty and attractiveness and holiness, and allows us to share that with other people so that in turn other people come to know the beauty of the Lord Jesus. What a calling. What a privilege. Not just physical exercise, but training to be godly. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, thank you for this affirmation that it's good to have physical training. It's valuable. We thank you for that. We thank you for the bodies you have given us. But our gracious Lord, we thank you that we're not just earthbound people, but we are people with an eternal dimension. And so, our Heavenly Father, as you speak to our hearts, will you also motivate our wills so that as we go from here, we may know how to die to self and how to live to Jesus, so that as we in turn become more like him, others will come to hear of the lovely Lord Jesus. And our prayer is offered in his name. Amen.